Good morning. Today at SGBC is Graduate Commissioning Sunday. Every year we designate a Sunday morning worship service to recognize our high school graduates. And we have four 2019 high school graduates, and we're going to introduce them and pray for them at the conclusion of the service today. I'm glad that you're here. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark is named for the man who wrote it, Mark. Mark is a 16-chapter, fast-paced, detailed biography of Jesus, the Son of God. I love the book of Mark. And the story that we'll read today, Mark 10, 17 through 22, this story is told three times in the Bible, here in Mark, and also in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. The story really is a brief interaction, just a conversation that Jesus has with a man who approaches him on the road. So Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. From this story, we will study that Jesus is all we need. Jesus is all we need. That's the point of this text and the title of the sermon, Jesus is all we need. As we begin, let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful to you for giving us the Bible and for this story. Jesus, thank you for the way that you speak and act in this text. Thank you for interacting with this man. Holy Spirit, you wrote these verses through Mark, and so would you be our teacher this morning? Would you transform us, Holy Spirit, as we submit ourselves to these words? Amen. In Mark 10, 17 through 22, we're introduced to a man who's eager to talk to Jesus. And we can gather some information about this guy. By the end of the passage in Mark, we find out that this man is rich. He has great possessions. You see that in verse 22. In the same story that's told by Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 20, we learn that this man is young. And in the same story told by Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 18, we learn that this man is a ruler. So we call him the rich young ruler. Now, graduates, you're scattered throughout the room this morning. Graduates, I'm looking at all of you. I know that it might not seem like you really identify with this man. Like, I'm not a rich young ruler. I'm a poor, maybe kind of sort of adult who really isn't in charge of anything, right? Like, rich young ruler may not be the identifying phrase for you this morning, but as we study this text, I think we'll find that this man's story connects to your story, connects to my story in so many other ways. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus, verse 17, and he begins with a question. A good question, a big question, and a good question. Jesus, you know Jesus has fielded lots of questions in his ministry. Up to this point. Just in the book of Mark, we see that Jesus has taken some kind of not so big questions over the course of his ministry. Questions about why he does certain things or why he acts certain ways. Questions Jesus has gotten about his upbringing or his family. He had one kind of sarcastic question about where you think you're going to get food to feed so many people, right? He's gotten a lot of questions. He's taken a lot of questions. But here's a good question. Here's a question that is worth posing. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's really a question about what the man needs in order to know God and to live with him forever. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Have I done everything I need to do? Have I become everything I need to become? Do I possess everything that I need to possess? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need? And it's likely that this man has heard of Jesus before. By Mark chapter 10, Jesus has done some astounding miracles. He's done some large crowd teaching. He's becoming popular. And so this rich young ruler decides, I'm going to take this big question to this rabbi, to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Have you asked this question? I hope so. I hope so. There's a lot of questions you could be asking right now. Graduates, there's a lot of questions you might be asking this morning. What do I do next? How do I going to achieve this goal? Maybe why is this difficult thing happening to me? Or will I make a difference? There's a lot of questions that we could be asking right now. But is what must I do to inherit eternal life? Is that a question that you've considered? Have you done everything you need to know God and to live with Him forever? It's a big question. It's a good question. The man asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The problem is, what this man really wants Jesus to say is, you already have all you need, rich young ruler. The man wants to hear Jesus affirm him, validate him, approve him. The man asked the question, but he already assumes that Jesus is going to give him a thumbs up signal and just send him on his way. He wants to hear Jesus say, you already have all you need. But Jesus knows this isn't true. Jesus knows this rich young ruler, and so he sets out to lead this conversation to the point where the man would see that Jesus is all he needs. He sets out to lead this conversation to the point where the man would see that Jesus is all he needs. So Jesus asks a thought-provoking question, and then he gives this checklist of commandments as if to say, well, do you think you have all you need? And surprisingly, yeah, is the man's reply. He's confident in what he's done and who he's become and what he possesses. He's a good person. He's been raised to obey well. He's well-liked and capable. We know he's got financial security, probably an impressive resume. And so when Jesus says, do you think you have all that you need to inherit eternal life? This guy's like, yeah, all these I have kept from my youth. And graduates, maybe you'd be responding in the same way. Do you think you have all you need to inherit eternal life? Well, I'm a good person. I went to church all my life. I volunteered so many hours. I'm confident. I'm likable. I've worked hard and I've accomplished a lot. I've got a 5-year plan. I've got a savings account. Yeah, I have everything I need. And the truth of it is all of us, right? All of us tend to believe, like this rich young ruler, that we have everything we need. That what we do and what we become and what we possess is enough, that we have everything we need for eternal life. All these I've kept from my youth, the man says. I have all I need, right? Parents, can I interject with a caution here for us? Let's not bring up our children to think that what they do or who they become or what they possess is what they need most. That their behavior or their academic or athletic or social standing, their careers or their marriages or their success is all that they need. Because we'll raise some rich young rulers who have it all together. But as Jesus says in verse 21, they're going to lack one thing, the most important thing. Let's not raise our kids to depend more on what they do or who they become or what they possess than on Jesus. This seems to be what happens to the rich young ruler in this text. He somehow had come to think that he already had everything he needed for eternal life. He was sure of it. He asked the question, but it was rhetorical. He thought he already knew the answer. Do you think you have all that you need, Jesus says? All these I've kept from my youth. And this moment between verses 20 and 21, this pause is a critical point in this encounter. And look what Jesus does in verse 21. Two things. He looks at the man, and he loves the man. Mark's account is the only version of this story that provides us with this intimate look into the heart of Jesus. He looks at the man and he loves the man. And this detail reveals to us so much about Jesus. Because this is the part where if I'm Jesus, then I'm just sighing in exasperation, right? This is the part where I say, okay, bro, I gotta go. Like, I'm out. This is the part where I sense this young man's pride and self-sufficiency. I'm seeing his ego on display, and I'm just going to dismiss him. Really? You think you have everything you need for eternal life? But no, but Jesus doesn't get tired of this man. He doesn't weary of this man. No, look, he looks at him and he loves him. And this is good news for us, friends. When we are relying on our own works, Jesus looks and loves. When we're sure we got it all figured out on our own and we don't need anything else, Jesus looks and loves. When we are the most exasperating, Jesus looks and loves. While we were still sinners, Jesus looks and loves. And he's ready to invite us to receive eternal life. He's ready to welcome us into that life that is meaningful and good and eternal. He looks and loves. And Jesus has led this entire conversation to this point. And now, in verse 21, Jesus is ready to make that grand invitation. Jesus, in love, looks and says to this man, "What you need most is not what you've done or who you've become or what you possess. It's me." What you need most is not what you've done or what you've become or what you possess. It's Jesus. Graduate, what you need most is not your GPA or your social media status or your bank account. It's Jesus. Church, what you need most, what we need most is not our good works, not how important we are, not the things that we own. It's Jesus. Unbeliever, what you need most is not better behavior or a winning personality or financial stability. It's Jesus. Jesus is all we need. And so Jesus issues an invitation to this man. You want to inherit eternal life? You only need me. And here's how to receive me. Look at verse 21. It's a two-part invitation. Go sell, then come follow. Do you see those two pairs of verbs in that verse? Go sell and come follow. Go sell. For this man, Jesus literally is asking him to have an estate sale. Like, go post everything on Craigslist. Liquidate, right? Because he was finding his identity and his security in what he possessed. And so Jesus says, go sell. Go sell means for us, for this man and for us, go sell means stop depending on anything in your life that you find your identity and security in that's not Jesus. Go sell means stop depending on anything in your life that you find your identity and your security in that's not Jesus. Your education, your behavior, your abilities, your reputation, that 5-year plan. Your hobbies, even your family. What are you trusting in most? Hoping in most? Counting on the most? What are you excited about the most? What defines you? What do you find your identity and your security in? And if Jesus is not the answer to those questions, then go sell. Go sell. This is repentance. Turning from everything you're depending on and turning to depend on Jesus only. Verse 21, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. Now, this does not make sense. For this rich young ruler, at least this half of Jesus' invitation is outrageous. You want me to do what? Why would this man relinquish his life's earnings? Why would he give away all that he has worked toward? Why would he empty his bank account? Doesn't he need it? This doesn't make sense. And the only reason that he would go sell is because Jesus is worth it. And the only reason that we would go sell is because Jesus is worth it. And he is. You see, Jesus is the true and better rich young ruler. Jesus is the true and better rich young ruler. Jesus identifies with this man. He too is young. Here in this story, he's younger than I am. He's in his early 30s. He too, Jesus, is rich. He's full of divine glory, nothing richer than that. Jesus, too, is ruler. He is eternally God over the cosmos. But Jesus gave it all away. Jesus is worth going and selling everything because he went and sold everything. And this is our gospel. This is our good news. Jesus gave it all away in obedience to the Father and in great love for his creatures who are poor in sin. That's you and me. Jesus stooped to earth. He wrapped himself in human flesh, and in completely humiliating nothingness, Jesus died on a cross. Jesus bore the full and fatal punishment for our sin. He was buried and sealed in the ground. The rich young ruler, Jesus, gave it all away. Amen. Jesus is worth going and selling everything because he went and sold everything. And when he rose from the dead, he selflessly offered his eternal life to us. He went and sold everything, and then he gave it all to us, the poor, the spiritually bankrupt. The rich young ruler, Jesus, gave it all away. This is our good news. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." So we go sell. We go sell and we come follow. It's so important that the invitation from Jesus isn't just sell everything, but it's sell everything and receive me. The invitation is to forfeit everything else and then get Jesus. Come, follow me. See, we're not selling everything to gain nothing. We gain Jesus. Jesus doesn't say go sell and then go home. He offers us, he offers this man a better choice. He offers himself. And graduates, a promise that following Jesus is great gain. A promise that Jesus is better. See, Jesus is asking this man to begin what would be the greatest adventure of his entire existence. Jesus is asking this man to walk with him, the Son of God, and to join the glorious mission of God himself and to live eternally with God. Come, follow me, Jesus says. This is an incredible offer. Don't you know that following Jesus would have transformed this man's life? And following Jesus will transform your life. Jesus will keep you, and he will be a constant joy to you. Jesus will overcome the sin that is destroying your life. Jesus will give you a mission and a purpose. Jesus will teach you to look at others and love them just like he did for you. And when this age is over, and when Jesus returns and remakes the world, then you can believe he's going to resurrect your body and you will inherit eternal life. You will live with God himself forever. Come follow me, Jesus says. Isn't following Jesus worth it? He looks at you in love, and the only good response is to go sell and come follow. In our text, though, that's not what happens. Not in this story, not for this man. Look at verse 22. He went away sorrowful. Oh, isn't this one of the greatest tragedies recorded in all of Scripture? It's devastating. All he needs is Jesus, who is right before him. But his identity and his security is found in what he has done and who he has become and what he possesses. And so he went away sorrowful. He turned around. He left. Oh, graduates, don't go away sorrowful. Jesus is all you need, and he's offering you himself, the Son of God, who went and sold his very life to give you life, looks at you in love and says, go sell and come follow me. I urge you, come follow Jesus. For the rest of your life, go sell and come follow. He's worth it. Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. This is true. He is better. Jesus is all you need. Mark 10:17-22. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, All these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.